This is Purple Radio on demand.
Good evening and welcome back to Out of the Shadows Confidential, the anniversary special. Yes, we made it. Finally, 60 years. I think I've said that line before. Or maybe I will. We haven't done the Star Beast yet. But there's another anniversary special that came out. Quite a few, I'd argue. I'm not alone. I'm joined with Jacob.
Hello there.
Joseph.
Good evening.
And Lorna.
Hello.
Yes, we'll be talking about the certain sets of, would you call them episodes, Jacob, or minisodes?
Minisodes, certainly for the first one we're going to talk about. Then it goes monologues, then it goes, I don't know, I just always use the word time crash.
Very well. So we'll be discussing the minisodes, the time crashes, what exactly these things are. All of a sudden, after Out of the Shadows ended, we got a few episodes, one called Lost in Shadow, detailing the life of the Doctor. Oh, by the way, I probably should take spoilers. I always forget the spoilers, don't I?
Spoiler warning for
everything.
Spoiler warning. So,
Out of the Shadows, Lost in Shadows, the monologue we put up on Instagram, and 37.
I'll start again. So we're in Lost in Shadow. We're meeting the Doctor, experiencing her life after losing Jason. Thankfully, Jason didn't die, but it's that whole thing of the Doctor going through a loss of a companion. We see her feelings, and we see her, what Jason did as well. We see a few monologues from EV Press, and of course we have a multi-Doctor story. But I think the big question that we have to ask is, how did this come about exactly?
Which one? I mean, there's three different things.
I know, but this seems to be this grand plan that's been in Jacob's head.
Oh, I'm glad it looks that way, because it
was
the Jacob master plan.
Do you want it in chronological order of release?
Yeah,
which is almost with that.
I want a proper Frost Nixon-style interview, the true details of what has been
true
going on.
Release order, Jacob. So, first of all, Lost in Shadows.
Well, I can speak.
I was going to say, I have your hand back to you immediately, don't I?
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of, it happens the way almost all things like this happen. I came up with an idea, and it was an idea I'd had for a while. I was like, it'd be really cool to have stuff like bounded in the TARDIS. I really love the Doctor and TARDIS relationship, and it would be like a nice thing that you wouldn't have to do a huge amount of sound effects for. And I was out chatting to some friends about it, and I was like, I really wish I knew a way to do this. And they went, well, you do realise that would fit really nicely. I realised it would go really nicely between the two series. They went, you know, you could just ask Jacob to do that. And I was like, could I?
Yeah, you just want it. I can't remember which one of you it was that threw it at me now. I think it may have been Joseph or some kind of liaison. But you went, we want to do these monologues. And I'm like, yeah, right, cool, go for it.
Yeah.
Someone else will edit those.
Yeah, yes. George was the first person I went to, as I do with quite a lot of my writing things, and George just went, yeah, all right.
Yes, yeah, I think Laura and I had a long conversation about the practicalities of what it would be, where it would fit, etc. And then I brought it to you, Jacob, as showrunner and went.
Yeah, we're going to come back onto that point later, by the way, on all that was going to Joseph, and you'll see why.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I loved it as a concept straight away, because when we finish Out of the Shadows, quite rightly, the end of the series focuses entirely on Jason, and the Doctor just sort of disappears once Jason leaves, and we don't really get any of what happens to her next without the companion. So I think it's really nice to have a few releases here that actually give us the opportunity to see that before we go into the next series.
There was a shot in the visual version of Against the Dying of the Light when the script existed in that first draft form. I think it was just after Jason. He goes into the house, he meets everyone, there's that laughter, he sees the pride flag. But before it cuts to afterwards in the final scene where they're having drinks, it cut to a shot of the Doctor just walking around the TARDIS alone. Because normally, I don't think anyone here is probably, Wine is probably the only person who's read that version of the script. But like a lot of the visual stuff kind of sticks in mind, even if it never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think to start off with, I was trying to hold myself back from rating them before Jacob said yes, because I was very excited about it, as I kind of once I've got through. And so once he said yes, I was like, okay, it was written quite quickly, and I was quite attached to almost all of them. And Jaws was like, do you mind, like, can I have one? Which one do you least want to do? And I was like, well, that's the one, like, the one I can best handle giving up. And then Joseph made it into something where I was like, oh wow. Okay. It was very, it was very well fitted to him as well.
And one sound effect for the whole 2 minutes. Great.
And the rest of them was just me having fun ripping people's hearts out, because that's what I like to do.
You do so well.
Oh, we will see, Joseph. We will see.
Yeah, it's interesting as well that it was actually the first taste of my writing that people got, because people are used to Jacob doing what Jacob does.
I can't say the word on Purple Radio that I want to say.
Yeah.
No, you can't say that.
Yeah. And then I came along and was like, can I do it? And I feel like no one had any idea what to expect, which I loved. That's my favourite thing. So, like, all my other episodes are happiness and joy.
Yeah, that
arguably
sounds
the most fun and light episodes in their series.
Yeah, we believe you.
It's all colourful, it's fine. Oh, not until, what year is it, Lorna? 78?
79.
79, ah!
Almost.
Makes me sexual.
Because that's why you have the reference.
Of the five episodes, which would you say is the one that hit you the most, or the one that you'll always reach to out of the five, bearing in mind all have different perspectives of what the Doctor's going through and what exactly it means to Out of Shadows?
Like, I think it would be a really close tie between 3 and 4. So the for one, Evie doing Time Lord Victorious was terrifying, and she just did that in like a couple of takes, and I was like, oh, okay.
You've gone too far, Evie.
Eruption, so we both know what that's like live.
Yeah.
Bad, isn't it?
But I think my favourite one is probably actually episode 4, partly because actually in what is a very serious episode, I managed to dunk on Chibnall. Because there's a bit of stranding her on a rock somewhere.
Oh, yeah. You put a grand serpent joke into Lost in Shadows.
Yes, I did.
Everything is being revealed here.
We've all got it, but I'm still surprised.
But it's a thing, it does a thing which I think I really like to do a lot with all my Doctor Who, which is have the Doctor being aware of how much like they affect their companions and the power they've got in their hands. And I think like one of the lines that I always remember, because it really like speaks to me about how they understand that power, is 11 in the God Complex, when he's talking to Roy and he's about like, he says like, well, it's all time and space, like a kid throwing a kid a suitcase of sweets. No, are they ever going to say no? No. And I feel like them knowing that they have that power and kind of struggling with using it for good, but also using it because they are essentially lonely. It just, it makes my lovely little character drama heart go.
I would say, I think 4 is my favourite as well, because you never get to see any Doctor show that kind of vulnerability. Like, I can't remember if it's stage directions or it's just what I picture, but I can imagine the Doctor just curled up on the floor of the TARDIS. And you are never going to see that on screen. Most audios, you wouldn't see it.
Yeah, and I think the thing is,
but you get my point.
A normal episode. It kind of can't be done, because the Doctor is always kind of running from crisis to crisis. I think that's the other thing I liked about the monologues, is what happens if there's no crisis for the Doctor to channel their energy into? Bad things.
I am curious to see how the monologues came about, because, of course, after the very impactful Lost in Shadows, you've got Evie saying all these monologues throughout the history of Doctor Who. Now, I would take it that this phone call rang, and all of a sudden,
the Doctor went, hang on, let me just say a bunch of monologues. How well does it fit in with the canonicity of Out of the Shadows? Or is it just diegetic?
Yes, I don't think the intention is that these monologues are canon. I mean, maybe she did. Maybe this is some part, somewhere of the timeline of her going through all of her past speeches, saying things. Perhaps she does.
Hey, but I doctor, incredibly, incredibly coy.
Could you give us your top 14 greatest hits? Is that what essentially was said?
I think, yeah, Joseph, you chose most of them. I'd say the monologues came after 37. I can't remember who had the idea. I think I just said, what if we did, you know, what speech would you like Evie to read out? Just as a question to go.
Yes, I think it was a question then, that you'd posed ages ago. And I went, yeah, we could actually do this if I pick the right ones for each doctor.
I think, yeah, you picked mostly because I think you went when people were trying to guess what was coming up. A lot of people missed the mark on some of the obvious ones. Like, people went, yeah, 11's going to do Rings of Akaten. And you went, yeah, that's kind of fair.
Yeah.
But people, yeah, didn't get that Capaldi wouldn't do Heaven Sent. And nobody guessed what 6 was going to do. Because me editing that, trying to find, like, because every image you see on those videos, and they're very basic edits, but they're taken from the exact scene. So I had to go through and go, what the hell is that from? And he stitched it together from about a 3-minute scene in Mysterious Planet, which is, yeah, a terrible episode. So well done for getting anything of worth out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wanted, some of them had obvious choices. You know, the 10th Doctor doing Don't Blink was the obvious choice. But then some of them I wanted to do things which weren't the obvious choice. You know, you could have had 6 in Trial doing his Rage Against the Time Lords.
And then
you
had Absolute Power, which is exactly what I would have gone for.
Exactly. But I think not only having things which you don't necessarily think of in the grand history of Doctor Who, but also a lot of the ones that you do think of are the big dramatic confrontational speeches. And I liked splitting those up with some of the nicer, more positive ones, you know, 5, 6, 13, have much more optimistic outlooks, which is also a big theme of the show. So I thought was important to include within these monologues.
I should say, I enjoyed in the edit putting in jokes in the music, because that was basically the only thing I could touch. So the few jokes that are in there from memory, the soundtrack under Troughton's is called Memories of Invasion.
Yes.
It's a particularly good one. Obviously, like, 4's is the Dalek theme. Like, that's something quite obvious. 7 is the tsunami. Yes. Which is, that's a great plot. Ripples dropped in a lake joke. And then 12 has, it's Cardinal Sin, it's called, from the Fourth Wall, because you play Cardinal Richelieu in the Musketeers. There's a bunch of little jokes. Louis got his head in his hands for the sake of the tape.
It shows just how much thought has gone into it, which, I mean, is absolutely admirable. The master plan, as I said, the master plan must have been a lot of fun to concoct, revise. So moving on from these monologues, eventually you get to the end, and all of a sudden a few teasers, a few trailers keep dropping, suggesting something about 37. What is 37, and how does that fit in exactly in your master plan?
It's a bit of fun, wasn't it?
I think so. Yes.
Well, Jacob, this one's all yours.
Yeah, right. So I had, people in the WhoSort chat will know I did a little Christmas script last year, not to be produced, just a little fun project that put Jason and Damien in the companion support group from Power of the Doctor. It's a Christmas party. Just a bit of a laugh.
It's great.
I had a lot of fun with it. But after that, I'm like, could we do a proper Christmas special? And that was the original intention, for it to be a Christmas special. And I vaguely pitched it to Lorna. I said, what if I did like a multi-doctor thing? I didn't go into any real detail.
Well, I said multi-doctor. I was on it. I'm like, what do you mean? Because he was keeping secrets, as he does.
But no, because I told you partially. I obviously went on to tell you fully and rope you in. But before that, and it was January 31st, so the anniversary of Out of the Shadows, I went to Joseph and I said, look, I've had an idea for a project. it's big and it's messy and it might be too much because we're going to have to do so much of the work. If it doesn't work, if it's not viable at any point based on scale or acting or editing or anything, you tell me now and I don't do it and it ends there. So I'm going to tell you everything, every step. And he goes, okay. And I said, so, okay, initial pitch, Out of the Shadows Christmas special. And he goes, yeah, great, let's do that. I'm like, no, 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 no. Listen to me. Because I don't, not that I didn't want to do it, but you know what it is when you, Lorna, you'll know this as well, you've had that idea. And you are going to Joseph because you're like, if it's a bad idea, he's going to be the one to tell you.
Yeah, however, and he's going to be the one to Joseph know it from your like enabler. Concept rambling stage, not like further on. He's very good at that.
Yeah, because I then had to pitch to him. I then had to pitch to him, it's multi-doctor, it's 12 and 11. I'm playing 12 and 11. And I think he knew from various impressions I've done that I could do 12. 11, he's like, I think must have gone, okay. Because that bit is the bit where he went, okay, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, yeah, you doing 12, I expected. You doing 11 was a surprise when you were pitching this to me.
It's nice when you can surprise him. But then a few weeks later, when I was recording the audio for the Conquest in Space podcast that I definitely showed up on, obviously that's just me doing the entire curator speech spliced in. What you may not know is I did the other side of that conversation as well. So theoretically, Jo has audio that she could edit together that would sound something along the lines of, I could be a curator. I'd be great at curating. I'd be the great curator. I could retire and do that. I could retire and be the curator of this place. You know, I really think you might. Like, she has that audio. She didn't use any 11 stuff, but on the same day while I was doing that, I sent a little like minute-long improv to Joseph of a Matt Smith impression. And that was the point, like, again, if I can't do this, if it doesn't sound right, we stop. And he went, I think your exact words were, don't go for a crew as an impressionist, but you definitely know who it is.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I went, we've got to do it now, don't we? And he went, yes, yes, we do.
Yeah.
So I brought it up to Evie, of course, because that was the final piece of the puzzle. Wrote a script, read through, record, really efficient with all, because I knew I'd have to edit it and need a lot of time. And then should we talk about how Louis found out about this particular project?
Yes.
Yes, please do tell.
Yes, I don't think it's public knowledge that you've known for about 5 months.
No, sorry guys, everyone listening. I knew about this a good long while before you.
You're going to get slaughtered at the next session. But no, what happened is we knew we'd have to tell you to get it on the schedule. So I was thinking, okay, August, September time, before you kind of do your scheduled, I'll come up to you and say, hey, we've done this project. Can we have just 20 minutes just to slot us in somewhere? Nice and easy. End of June, he messages and goes, hey, what would you think about doing your 60th thing for Without the Shadows? And I messaged the Secret 37 chat with the screenshot of that and just went, I know we've got to tell him, but I think the jig's up, lads. So just had to just go, what did I send you? I said, because it was like midnight, you messaged me. So I went, yeah, I'll get back to you in the morning on that. Don't tell anyone we've had this conversation. And then the next day, I just went, right, I know what you're pitching. What if we told you we've already done it?
My mind was blown. It's still blown. And I've known about this for months, yes.
Yeah.
Because then the game was
very fun keeping it secret, I'm not going to lie.
That was
also, I feel like now we have to explain one of the ways Jacob was teasing you for that episode.
Anyone in the Matrix chat, if you just type in the number 37, it goes back
oh, no,
to January.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're on about, Lorna, because when my first ever podcast I actually hosted, it was with Joseph and Bertie, and Joseph snuck in something. We were talking about how many like regenerations the Doctor has, and the whole thing is there's a loop, you know, an extra loop in generations. And so Joseph went, oh, we don't know how many, 14, 12, 11, 37?
37.
Yeah.
Right under my nose.
Not even talking about that.
It was also timed perfectly because on all of the podcasts leading up to that, for those of you who are not already aware, I will now confirm, each podcast includes the title in order of an episode of Beyond the Shadows, which is coming out later on. And so it was timed perfectly that the following podcast, I had the opportunity to drop 37 in there.
Yeah. And I'm not even talking about that. That's just these two being the little secretive people they are. What I'm talking about is if you go back and look at the recordings of the monologues, you might spot some things. You might spot some things in the visuals. You might spot the number 37. It's bigger and bigger.
No, it wasn't in the monologue. That's every day I would share the monologues from onto my Instagram story. And I just put the number 37 on the story, just really small. And then it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I think they got the message. I think they got the message.
And no one noticed because nobody thought that maybe they should be following Jacob. Maybe they should be paying attention.
Day 11 or 12 just says, like, Evie Press is playing the 37th Doctor. No, 11th. Sorry, the 11th. Just get messed. Like, you just... And then on the day... Joseph was teasing something's coming up, and I pretended that he'd hijacked my monologues.
What is he doing?
And I think,
to be fair, now it does now give Joseph license to actually hijack something of yours, and no one will know.
It's true.
That is true.
Was all these machinations, this scheming, worth it for the payoff at the end, that final 37 episode being broadcast?
Without question.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked plot of the episode yet. I assume we're going to come on to it. But I will say I am very proud of it. On a script level, it's daft, but I love it. Evie's obviously a brilliant actor. I'm sure we'll talk about my acting in that. But on a personal level, I'm pretty content with the performances I managed to bring up. And given... I edited the entire thing. Obviously, can't take credit for the soundtrack. I ripped that off YouTube. I ripped our own audio drama soundtrack off YouTube.
You thief.
But in terms of the way the edit came out, given I basically taught myself how to edit while doing that, I'm very pleased with what was a amateur of the amateur production came out marvellously. And I was very happy with myself. But you can slate me now. Now I've tickled my own ego.
I mean, I must say, there's two things. I find it worked incredibly thematically with the fact that each of these Doctors, 14, 12, 11, have lost a companion, they're going through that experience, and they are united in their grief and what they've gone through. And it was perfect, and I don't think many multi-Doctor stories actually have that sort of shared experience with the Doctors. Usually just, oh, look, it's them. And I think this was pretty well done. Second thing I'd say is that...
Well, I was going to say, I think Day is the only one that really delves on it.
Mm.
I mean, we're jumping ahead on plot here, but the 50th and the 60th both have three Doctors trapped in a room wondering if any of them counted.
That is true.
That's true.
It's unintentional, but well, like I say, do we want to just run down what the plot is for anyone who missed it?
I think, yes, we should, but also, if you've missed it, go away and listen to it now and come
back. Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Do that.
But also, yes, do run through the plot.
Well, the plot is very simple. Like I said, it was a time crash. The 14th Doctor is in her TARDIS on her own. The phone is ringing, but before she can answer it, everything goes wibbly, and suddenly her console is warped in this strange amalgamation of shapes. I basically predicted the memory TARDIS from Tales, now we think of it. That's probably what it looked like.
Yeah. Although not in quite so wholesome a way.
I'm going to say, genuinely, just to go a little bit more, in the first episode of our series, in Beyond the Shadows, we have a discussion where the Doctor has got his pronouns with someone. So Starbeast, of yours, I got in first. but then, you know, the 14th Doctor looking around going, what's happened to the TARDIS? All of a sudden from behind her, the 12th Doctor strolls in, thinking, what the hell's going on? Trying to work out what two of them are doing there, but very quickly accepting that they are both indeed the Doctor. Until a third voice comes from out of the shadows. A Doctor who thought that they were the last.
I thought that was a superb thing there, because you wouldn't really think that, oh yeah, 11 isn't really 11. He's the last one.
There is, as I said before we started recording, there is a deliciously meta joke about spiky hair and his multiple attempts.
Yes.
Which is a stolen Earth canon bit, but also, you know.
And it was leading to my second point. Just like with the rest of Out of the Shadows, it's that perfect balance of this is a serious show of what our series of Doctor Who would be. And on the exact same balancing side, absolutely self-aware, knows it's a joke, knows that there's so much fun to be had, and it's a testament to everyone involved that it just works so well.
Yeah. Like it does. It just, like, I mean, I don't think I got to read the script obviously before we did the read-through and recordings and stuff. And I didn't have that many notes because I was just like, this is just good. This is just good multi-doctor fun. We love it to see it.
I think the biggest note any of you had was Lost in Shadows continuity that I did mess up. So I did not change it. Yes. So the phone rang it. Because I then time crashed it and had to go, right, let's put the phone call rings at the end of Lost in Shadows. Because I was editing both, I could put the same sound in, which was even better. And then from, if you take that out, you could still have the Doctor just answer that call to O'Donnell and go, ooh, trouble with the Zygons, da, da, da. But you can still fit in that entire adventure in a certain way.
Yeah. And we pay attention to our continuity as much as we can possibly manage.
We do.
Just not with the main series.
Very hard
that would
that.
Be too much.
In regard to the Doctors themselves, so you've got 11th Doctor and 12th Doctor. So why those exactly? Because there are many other Doctors, maybe, I suspect you could have spun on. Is it just because both of them had that experience of loss in their timeline, or just...
Or is it just because those are the only two you can do the voice of, Jacob?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The continuity, because you evolve that story and how you connect them together. And, like, you're saying it's interesting to have that loss. That's where I've taken them from in their personal timelines. It's very deliberately a Doctor that's post-Angels Take Manhattan. It's a Capaldi that's post-Hellbent. You take them from there, and then you can draw that parallel. It's harder to do... Not that you couldn't do with that, but because when your initial premise is, okay, they're in a room together, and I very early on went, okay, what if one of them's an imposter? And then 2 seconds later went, oh, the room is the imposter. Because that's what I said this recently, that I am incredibly subtle when everyone expects me to be obvious and incredibly blatant when you expect me to be subtle. And yeah, I think to various points does that. It's a very subtle thing to say, okay, one of the life forms in here is not the Doctor. It's like, I never said there are only three of them.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think there are other points in the script you could go, are you going to be very nuanced? They're like, I'm just going to have fun with it. And I'm going to do the joke. I'm going to do a Peter Capaldi joke that says, don't forget to click below.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it when I first heard that.
Again, that was in the early notes going, how do I fit that in? What techno babble can I add into it after? So it could just go, don't forget to click below the quantum harmonizer.
Yeah.
Stupid noises.
Yes, I know you weren't in the room when people were listening to it, Jacob, but that got several people doing a double take going, did you just say?
Fantastic. You say the line.
It was.
I don't know much about the live reaction. Joseph, you said everyone enjoyed it, but I don't know a particular moment. And I mean, there's one moment I think we'll come on to in a bit.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone wants to jump in anything else first.
Well, I was just gonna say that it's a wonderful, like, sci-fi way to get out what is essentially a locked room mystery. Like, it's really hard to come up with something that works for a locked room mystery that people haven't seen before. And the fact that in sci-fi you can be like, no, it's the room, is just great. I just kind of realised that was a really brilliant story idea and went, oh no.
Well, it's getting the excuse to have those characters in a room talk to each other. Like, I love Time Crush. I absolutely adore it. But it is an episode that runs solely on vibes.
Yeah.
Because the first 70% of it is David Tennant going, no, I am the Doctor. Yeah. And then they solve the problem. Then they have a lovely bit of sentiment at the end where Tennant just gets to say what he says to his father-in-law, but, you know. As someone 2 years into a relationship, it's weird to be that honest with your father-in-law. But not like that. You know, he's very Yorkshire. But anyway, that's his own story.
That's the man from the north.
But yeah, like with 37, I was telling a proper story, and each Doctor gets a moment with each other. You get some of them are smaller. I think 14 and 12 are smaller, partially because I think they get on.
I was surprised at that. I thought that 14 and 11 would get on quite well because they're both that. I think I said in, you'll hear it soon. The idea of 14 is an incredibly excitable Doctor. But I was surprised. But you know what? That's what 37 did. It did subvert my expectation, and it shocked and hopefully enthralled lots of other people who've listened to it.
Yeah, it's like they're almost too similar to get on, really.
Mm.
But I also think it was definitely the right decision that 12 and 14 get on better, because they're both the sort of the Doctor that is much more hardened to the decision making, much more. Yeah. This is the right decision, and I'm through with all of this emotional turmoil every time I have to make a decision. I know I'm right, and I'm sticking with it in a way that a lot of the other Doctors aren't, which is why they work so well and get each other. Even if I'm not sure like each other is quite the right term, but certainly respect each other and understand each other better than a lot of the other Doctors do.
Yeah, because naturally they start off. Should we just have a moment on Evie's Scottish accent? Because I wrote that in, I scribbled that, and then she's just going to do it. Thing. I don't have to.
Super.
Beautiful, beautiful thing. I will admit, I'm Scottish. I was listening. I had to with the Capaldi voice. I had to be like, get it. Not like the same as the 11 voice. I had to get it for me to. Don't make a career as an impressionist joke. Someone who is Scottish. Evie's Scottish accent, perfect, so funny, because it wasn't her pretending to be Scottish, it was her doing Scottish accent.
In the edit, we used take one, take two, if you remember, Lorna, it went even more ridiculous and she apologised immediately afterwards.
Yeah, and this is the funniest thing.
It was literally like, am I a good man or do I just want to depend? Like, it was that level of acting.
It was so over the top, and it was hilarious. But yeah. It was just a stretch too far. But take one was utterly perfect. As Evie's so often is, she's incredible.
Yeah. Release the press cut.
I might find send the video of me trying to record. You know when Matt Smith or 11 shouts, quiet? I think you've all seen it. But my mic kept peaking, so I recorded that from the other side of the room. Like, that's how loud I was shouting, and it was still peaking, and how like low my mic volume was. So there's a video of me shouting it about for 30 seconds, then just going, the neighbour's in.
Now that you've done this, Jacob, is it unlikely we're going to be seeing more multi-doctor stories in the future? Now this has been done. You can say no comment if you...
I will say that all the scripts for the remaining series that I will be presiding over have been written. And this was... Actually, that's not true. Two episodes were written after 37 was written. One of them by me. And one by... Well, one by Lorna and someone who did not know 37 existed. Those are true statements.
Yes.
I could lie to you if you'd like me to.
Rule one, Jacob lies.
Rule one B, not always, or I just tell the truth backwards.
Backwards, yeah.
Say, I've used that line on Joe before. At some point in the last 10 months, I've used that line. It's all there.
Yeah, like,
if you know where to look with my stuff, you can probably work out a lot, at least work out when I am lying. But I don't lie all the time. Because then I'd always be lying, you just assume the opposite.
It does remind me of Pyramids of Mars with the mummies. That one tells the truth, that one tells the lies.
Yeah.
In the spirit of questioning Jacob and all such things, I think we should move on to questions, which we do have, which is very good. Here's a question. Who would you like to see 14, aka Evie, appear with, let's say, two other Doctors?
Well, I have to say seven because then I could do it.
I think seven is one of the more obvious.
I'd love to see her with six. I think the two would clash. But I think that would be brilliant to see.
I'm not gonna lie, I know everyone else would hate it. My own personal internal version of 13, argument, like, this would be longer than 37 and nothing would get done because they'd just be having a fight the whole time. And the 13 would just be like, I'm not engaging in this fight, and 14 would just like follow her around the room or something.
This isn't really a 14 question, but I wonder seeing a post 11 Doctor meeting War again and how they'd react now they've gone through that. That's just a more general observation.
There's so many things you can do with multi-doctor stories. I wouldn't be surprised.
To be fair, if we're talking of meeting other Doctors, we've talked about three of them. We're not talking about the other eight that also appeared in this episode.
Yes, there is, of course, a brief scene with voices of many other Doctors in this.
This is where my voice acting was pushed to the limit.
Yes, which...
And over.
Go back and listen again, because you have definitely missed one of the Doctor's lines listening to it if you've only heard it once.
Do we spoil and say who's in it?
I think you can, yeah, because...
Okay, extra spoiler warning if you're not going to go back. Just pause it, go listen. It's about 40 minutes in, I think, and come back. Because you have the first Doctor, the second Doctor, the fourth Doctor, the fifth Doctor, the seventh Doctor, the War Doctor, the 13th Doctor, and the 15th Doctor, Shusikawa, is in this episode. If you missed him, is kind of buried by Capaldi's line. It's when Capaldi's going, it's like creating a temporal leech as a body for them to inhabit. And I think just after he says inhabit, you can just hear the words Ruby. And that is clipped audio of Shooty Bloody Gawa.
You heard it there, folks.
If you're going, does that make sense in any kind of canon? No. Did I want to put it in any way from the start? Yes.
Yes.
I have just had a thought, though. Like completely unrelated to that, like back to the actual question. 14 and the curator.
Ooh. Ooh. That right, let's go again.
No, Jacob, no.
Now, of course, that's with the 14th Doctor played by Evie Press. But what about you personally? If you could hang around with two previous incarnations, who would they be?
I feel like my instinct is 11, but I feel like that would be incredibly dangerous.
Because then you'd spook him with your voice, wouldn't you, Jacob?
I mean, someone get me Dalek from Almost People. Well, like, sorry, we need to swap shoes a moment to really sell the point.
In one sense, four, because I've been watching a lot of four, and also, like, I mean, it is dangerous, but four, I just find him so funny that I would just be wandering around after him being like, look at this weirdo, I love it. And also, on a much more, like, I just would have long conversations with them and be like,
I was thinking that. I think you'd be safe with eight. Because that's the approach I'm taking, is which ones will get you into the least danger. And I've not heard enough Big Finish on them, so it's probably all right.
Yeah, I think Joseph would lambast 13.
Without question.
Yeah. We're just actually on the topic of 13 and the voices. Of course, the Doctors we added in, obviously I play six of them. Shooty Gatwa plays himself. There is a 13 line in there. That wasn't scripted. In fact, a few of those weren't scripted. I think 2 and 7 I just did when I was recording the rest. Went, I wonder if I can do their voice. Jury's out. But we had Evie saying, you know, can you do a 13 impression? Turns out she could. Lord and Joseph, do you remember how long it took us to write that one line of dialogue?
Yes. Yeah, we spent days, all three of us, trying to come up with what the right line was. Because most of them are like, they're all, the companion is no longer there, and they're about that. But that was really difficult to write for 13.
Because, well, I think we figured out quite early on that it had to be within Revolution of the Daleks when she's in the prison cell. Yeah. We got the context quite quickly, but then we couldn't work out what sounded believable, and I'm saying this diplomatically, what sounded like believable dialogue to come out of the 13th Doctor's mouth. I spent so long going, it's got to have famine there! And I was thankfully outvoted, because I couldn't, it was at least 5 minutes. And that doesn't sound like a long time, but 5 minutes of one line of dialogue where, like, four people in a call are just going, Would it be? No. And then I think it was me who came up with the final line. I can't remember now, but it does work.
It does, yeah.
We've got another question here.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Will what the Doctor did on that planet in Lost in Shadows come back to bite her in the future?
Ooh. Now, I have headcanons that I don't think I'm allowed to talk about. And,
can you tell us afterwards?
I can tell you afterwards, yeah. I'm not sure. I think eventually I will be allowed to talk about them, but that is headcanons that involve things beyond my control, shall we say.
I don't know what he means by that.
No, I
have yeah, genuinely. I want to know. And I want to know because I wrote them and I am like, ideas?
The fact Joseph is not currently typing a message to me is a scandal.
No, he's going to tell us. He's going to tell us afterwards. He's going to tell us afterwards. But if there's one thing you know about this is that you can't mention a story idea in front of me and then not deliberately. Oh, exactly. That's what I was going to say, actually, with the specials earlier. Like, none of us can ever say we won't do anything because we don't know. Yeah.
I didn't expect the can of worms that I would open by asking that question.
You don't know, like, that's the thing with writing it. Like, you never said, would I do a multi-doctor story? Went, no, we couldn't do that. There's a lot of things without the shadows that I'd say we're limited to because we haven't got access to certain things. Like, if we want to do a flashback, we can't just take the audio from the episodes. We'd have to be clever about it. But then, at the same time, we can broaden it and we've gone, okay, you'd think that we can't do a multi-doctor story, aside from, you know, Eternal War. Like, it counts. But then you go, okay, turns out I can do a passable jury start 12 and 11 impression, and then you can make something like this. But would it work if I tried to sustain it over a two-parter? I think you'd lose it. The fact it is only 15 minutes keeps it contained enough. And let's be honest, if I tried any of those other voices for more than the one line of dialogue they got, it would not have worked, although my John Hurt really isn't that bad. But you genuinely have to punch yourself in the throat for about 5 minutes before you do it.
Yeah, and you've also got a plot reason for like to excuse you in the episode anyway.
The theft isn't complete. The voices aren't perfect.
I came up with that as soon as we had the idea
during that episode.
Yeah.
I will say it is very upsetting that the episode wasn't 37 minutes long. That really annoyed me.
I'm not doing double that.
All right.
Yeah, it would have taken a lot to do that.
And particularly in the spirit of what you just said there, Jacob, the final question was, how did you get the actual Matt Smith on? But as you said, I don't think you can. And with that...
busy on the set of Wild Blue Yonder. What? Oh, my God.
Maybe.
I don't, for the record, I don't believe he's going to be in that episode. This is probably going to come out after that airs. However, if I'm right, I'll be so happy.
Yes, this is being recorded a week before Wild Blue Yonder comes out. So, we'll have to wait and see if Jacob knows.
I mean, speaking of teasers... are we going to talk about what the Temporal Leech said?
Oh, I was going to say that. And with that, let's talk about the very ending of the episode, where essentially what the Temporal Leech does is hint at what is to come for these Doctors. I don't know. I really don't know. But I was very concerned for the Doctor when that line was said. But which betrayed the other?
I had to think very carefully. About what, and I should say, it's not necessarily the context is interesting around it because of Matt Smith, Beware the Fields of Trenzalore, that's the place he's going to die. The first shall meet the last is just what's going on.
Yeah,
it's not like it's saying it's not the cryptic thing of he will not fall down.
Yeah,
those lines aren't necessarily saying this is how you're going to die. It's just, you know, I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah. It's just a message from time.
Yeah. What I can say is Evie read that line and still does not know what it means. But I can say. I can also say that I think a Wyan who does know what it means called me a very bad word when he heard it. I think that's all I can say on that.
Yes.
Louis' face is great.
What is going on?
probably just leaves one more thing to talk about briefly.
Yes, one more thing. The story ends, but the episode itself does not end. There's a few lovely credits, and then an actual BTS trailer drops. Finally.
Oh, God, that was so good.
We have a full trailer for the series.
That's rude as well.
How did it feel when that trailer dropped? Not necessarily when it was made and put together, but when that trailer was put out. How did it feel?
Awesome.
I think it's beautiful.
It's been a while in the making.
Yeah, I think recently as well, given production on Series 3 started, I think Series 2's a little bit, like, fallen. Like, that's kind of trundling away in post-production. Series 3, you know, getting auditions and stuff, like, that's more active. So you're more focused on that. And then that trailer comes through, even just, you know, as a prod team, but then when it's released into the world. I mean, Joseph, you'll be the best one to say this. What was the reaction like in the room?
It was good. There was a lot of positive reaction to various lines. Because, of course, there is a lot in that trailer. So shall we discuss the individual things that appear in that trailer?
Oh, yeah. Come on. You take the floor. This is your show, man.
So we begin with various hints about specifics as to what is coming. So we have various names. We have Leonardo da Vinci. We have extraterrestrial defense secretary Lawrence Cartmel. We have Tomorrow is Stonewall. So already you have several ideas about what is coming in these episodes. And then we have something Doctor Who has never done before. Because suddenly, we have a line of singing.
Yeah, we do.
And I will leave you to wonder, possibly not wondering very hard, what that could possibly come from. And then, of course, we descend into danger and various returning characters whose voices you may or may not recognise. And then
what happened at the very end?
What? Okay, that's what I wanted the reaction in the room for. Because surely someone fell off their chair.
I was rooted to the spot.
Quite fell off their chair. I did see at least one person flinch. So, you managed that.
Always good.
I love editing that and the sound wave just like breaks the screen. It's great.
Yes.
But on my part, I have to ask about intrigue about those few ideas at the start, the places we're going to go, the people we're going to meet, the things we're going to hear. Intrigue high.
We talk about 37, but from this point onwards, you know, we've talked Out of the Shadows. Out of the Shadows is dead now. It's done. So a year and a half after it was, that is over. We are now beyond the shadows.
It's dead and it's not
and
being generated.
I adore that this is the way we closed it out.
But just as Out of the Shadows is ending, so must this episode of Out of the Shadows Confidential. It's been a fun ride, particularly hearing all the wonderful stories that have been going through Jacob's mind for the past few months. And particularly to people like Joseph, to Lorna, to Evie as well, returning once again as the 14th Doctor. There's just so much love of Doctor Who in these series of anniversary specials. And thank you from me, from the society, from everyone who listened. It sounded, and hopefully will continue to sound, absolutely superb. And with that, it's goodbye from me, goodbye from Jacob,
goodbye,
goodbye from Joseph,
farewell,
and Lorna,
bye.
And I'll leave you with this final message.
Hello, this is Evie Price. Thank you so much for listening to 37. What a great episode. What an awesome anniversary special. It feels like a kind of rite of passage to do a multi-doctor story, and certainly a rite of passage that I never thought I'd get to do in my wildest dreams. Did not think that I'd be playing a doctor even in our series at an anniversary like this. So I feel really chuffed. And I hope you liked it. I had a lot of fun doing it and keeping it a secret. So yeah, thank you so much for listening and see you soon for season two.
Purple Radio Podcasts.
Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.